passage of scripture we read from Matthew chapter 26, Jesus is just a few hours away from the cross. He's going to Calvary. He knows what he's going to do there. I can't remember exactly where it is, but in the Bible it says that as he approached the cross and as he talked to his disciples about going there, the Bible says his face was set like a flint. He knew exactly what was going to happen, and he was determined that he was going to go and do what God had sent him to do, what he'd come to do. I believe, like we talked about this morning, when Jesus went to the temple when he was 12 years old and his mother, and he was missing for 3 days, they had gone back to the feast, and they had thought, Mary and Joseph had thought, that he was with other relatives, and he wasn't. He was in Jerusalem, and they missed him and went back, and after 3 days found him in the midst of the temple, and his mother asked him, he said, "Son, why have you treated us this way? Didn't you know we'd be worried? Didn't you know we'd be sorrowful looking for you?" And his answer sort of indicates to me that he knew at that point when he was 12 years old what his mission was. Perhaps he knew about it before then. But he said, "Didn't you know I had to be about my Father's business?" And so I think from the age of 12, he knew what his purpose was. He knew that he was going to go to the cross. He knew that that the hour that he's approaching in Matthew chapter 26 is coming. In verse 37, the Bible says he was sorrowful and very heavy. He knew what he was approaching. In verse 38, he says, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful." In verse 39, he says, "O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." And you might say, "Well, preacher, what cup is he talking about?" He's talking about the cup of Calvary. He's talking about going to the cross and dying on that cross. And even though he had his face set like a flint to go and do the will of God, as a man, he did not look forward to what was about to happen. He sort of shrank back from what was about to happen. Now, you say, well, is that consistent with one who was born for the purpose of going to the cross, who came for that very being? And I'll answer that question yes tonight, because Jesus, as God and as man, is our example. The Bible says he was tempted in all points like as we, and yet without sin. And I think we see in this passage of Scripture a temptation that he faced as a human being that many of us face oftentimes in our life. And I think we can learn from his example tonight how he faced that temptation and what he did. Because even though he's prayed, he said, "Oh my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." He said, "Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will." In verse 42, after he comes back and wakes up the disciples and said, "Peter, couldn't you pray for me for an hour?" And I don't know if he was gone for an hour that first time or not. It sort of implies that. And you know, we sing that song, "Sweet Hour of Prayer, Sweet Hour of Prayer." Probably it's a rarity for most of us to spend an hour straight in prayer. I mean, we spend 5 minutes, we spend 10 minutes, 20 minutes if something's on our heart, half an hour. But we sing that song, "Sweet Hour of Prayer," and I think the longer you pray, the sweeter it gets. Because the longer you pray, it means you have something more on your heart than just the normal everyday things. And so he came back the second time. He went back the second time, and he said in verse 42, he said, "Oh my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done." And in verse 44, it says he went back the third time, and prayed the same words, said the same words. And again, this cup, he said, if it's possible, Father, if there's some other way, just let this cup pass away from me. Now, again, what was in that cup? It was the betrayal of one of his disciples. the betrayal of Judas. It was the denial that Peter was going to do in the courtyard there when he was on trial. I mean, Jesus knew all those things were going to happen. He knew that Judas was going to betray him. He told his disciples often as he was talking about his end. He said, I picked one of you, and one of you is a traitor. One of you is going to betray me. He knew Peter was going to deny him. He told Peter, he said, before the cock crow, you're going to deny that you even knew me 3 times. And Peter said, I'm ready to die with you. What are you talking about? I'm not going to deny you. And Jesus knew it was coming, and yet, even though he knew it was coming, he still did not look forward to it. Again, he was our example. We know some things that are going to happen to us. I mean, like when you have to go get a medical procedure. You know it's coming. I mean, you know, you got to drink that yucky stuff to get all ready for it. I won't go into a lot of detail, but you drink that yucky stuff, and you know it's coming. You don't look forward to it, even though you know it's coming. He knew it was coming. And he did not look forward to it. He knew that there would be false accusations made against him. He knew that he would stand before the Sanhedrin and the high priest, and that there would be false testimony, and he would be falsely tried, although they accused him of the very thing that he was guilty of, being the Son of God. But he knew that he would become sin for all of us, as it talks about in Psalm 22. He knew that God was going to lay on him the sin of all mankind. He knew that he was going to have to pay the price of our sin. He knew that his soul was going to be dipped into hell. He knew that the Father in heaven would have to turn his back on him because of the sin that was laid upon him. He knew the crucifixion was coming. He knew he was going to be nailed to a cross. He knew he was going to hang between two thieves. He knew the sun was going to refuse to shine. He even knew what he said, what he was going to say on the cross. But as a man, it was not his will to drink that cup. That's why he asked God 3 different times. He says, if it's possible, would you take this cup away from me? If there's any other way that we can accomplish what we need to accomplish, would you do it so that I don't have to drink this cup? Now, let me point out something to you. There's no record in the scripture that Jesus ever changed his will. Just think about that. There's no record in the scripture that he ever changed his mind. There's no record where he came and said to the Father, okay, as a man, I want now to do this. I want to be denied. I want to be betrayed. I want all the sin of all mankind to be laid upon me. There's no record that his will ever changed. I think he went to the cross praying that prayer that he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. That's why it says in the Bible, I think in the book of Philippians, that he endured the cross. He despised the shame. And when it talks about him in this passage of scripture that we read, being very sorrowful or exceeding sorrowful, what he was saying is, as a man, I don't want to do this. It is not my will to do it. I mean, if it was left up to me, again, the man part of him talking, if it was left up to me, I wouldn't do it. But he said, not my will, but thine. Not what I want, Father, but what you want. Not my desire, not my will, but what you want. Now, as I have thought about this, this is a real encouragement to me. Because the cup that Jesus talked about were the circumstances that was going on in his life at that point in time. He's going to go to the cross. I have a cup. And you have a cup. And in that cup is the circumstances of our life. And I'll be honest with you, and I know that most of you, if not all of you, can say the same thing along with me. There are things in my cup that I don't want to drink. I want to drink. It's not my will. I mean, if it was my choice as to what would be in my cup, there'd be some things that are in my cup right now that I take out. There are things in my cup that I shrink back from. There are things in my cup that I don't understand and that I don't like and that I don't agree with. And again, I often pray the same prayer that Jesus prayed, Father, can you change what's in the cup? Can you give me a different brew? Coffee, not the other brew. I just want to make sure everybody understands that. Can you put something different in my cup? Because I don't like what's in there. I don't want to drink what's in there. But I realize, and I want you to realize tonight, that when we are given the circumstances of life from God, and he says, I want you to drink this, and we don't like it, and we don't agree with it, and we don't understand why he would do that, what God is giving us is an opportunity to please him. Because when we, by faith, just like Jesus did, take that cup and said, this is not my will, this is not what I want to do, but not my will, but thy will, and we drink that cup, we are exercising faith, and the Bible says without faith it's impossible to please God. So when there's things in our cup that we don't want to drink, it's not wrong for us to say what Jesus said. Again, he is our example. It's not wrong for us to go to God and say, I don't like what's in my cup. Would you give me something else? What he's looking for us to do is exhibit the same kind of faith that Jesus did. Now, I want to make 10 statements tonight, and you don't need to worry. I know what time it is. And even though I usually only have 3 points, we'll still get done at our normal time. But 10 things I want to say. Number one, God has prepared a cup for each of us. It's not the same. Every one of our cups is different. Every one of our cups that represent the circumstances in our life are different. And he who knows everything has put what's in our cup in our cup. He who knows what's best for us has put in our cup what is in our cup. Number two, he's given you that cup to drink. Given it to you. God has given it to you. Not some man. You see, I like that verse in the book of Revelation where and I can't remember the exact words, but where it says that God stands sentry as a sentry in our life, and there's nothing that comes into our life unless he says, okay. He has a plan for it all. And so he has put in each of our cups what he knows is best for us. And he has given us that cup to drink. Number three, he's not upset if your desire is not to drink it. Say, you mean God isn't upset if I look in my cup and I don't like what's in there? No. He wasn't upset with Jesus when Jesus prayed that prayer. Father, I take this cup away from me. You say, but that's why Jesus came to earth. I know that's why he came to earth. That was his purpose for coming, to drink that cup, to go to Calvary, to pay for our sins. But he said, Father, I don't want to drink this cup. And there's going to be times in our life when we look in our cup, the circumstances of our life, and we say to God, I don't want to drink this. It's okay. We're not going to upset him. Number four, he's not upset if you disagree with it. He's not upset. And when you go to him and say, Father, I don't understand. I don't agree with what you're trying to do. Most of the time we don't understand it. The Bible says his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And he can see the end of the road and we cannot. But he's not upset when we say, I disagree with it. He's not upset if you disapprove of what's in the cup. Number five, he's not upset. If you say, I just don't approve what you've put in my cup, God is not upset. He doesn't get mad at us. I mean, again, Jesus is our example. He didn't like what was in his cup. He didn't approve what was in his cup. He didn't agree with what was in his cup. Number six, he's not upset if you don't like it. Now you listen to me. There are times when our circumstances in our life we will not like. There are times when we will not understand them. There are times when we go to God and we pray the same prayer that Jesus did and said, Father, if it possible, let this cup pass from me. I mean, I can look at people in this room tonight. I can look at Martha when her husband Wayne, before he died, got Alzheimer's. You think that was Martha's choice? And Martha, I hope you don't mind me using you as an example. I know you don't. I wouldn't do it. But that wasn't her choice. That was hard. That was hard. And she looked in that cup and said, I don't like what's in the cup. Can't you take this cup away? Can't you just put something else in it? I don't want to drink this. You go back and talk to Lois. She'll tell you the same thing. She didn't want Bob to suffer like he did. I mean, she was, and all of our widows, I mean, what wonderful testimonies we have of how they stuck by their husbands right until the very end. But Lois will tell you, I didn't want to drink that cup. Now, she never told me, but I think there were times that she went home and said, God, I don't understand. Can't you give me something else? I don't like what you put in my cup. I can just go down the line. I don't know Donna's story as well, but I'm sure she prayed the same thing. I know Helen prayed the same thing when Brother Vern got ready to go to heaven. I know Wanda prayed the same thing. I know Dory prayed the same thing. I can just go up and down the room. There are times when in our life where we say, God, I don't like what you put in my cup. I don't want to drink it. I don't like it. I don't understand it. Can you give me something else to drink? But I'll tell you tonight and remind you tonight, God has put in each of our cups what he knows we need. Say, how can you say that, Brother Darrell? I can't explain it to you. I can't explain it why these ladies had to go through what they went through. But God knew. He knows. He knows. And so it's okay when, and he doesn't get upset with us when we go back to him. And we say, Lord, I don't like what's in my cup. I pray like your son did in the Garden of Gethsemane. Let this cup pass from me. Give me a different cup. Give me something else. He's not upset when we say we don't like it. He's not upset when we ask it. Ask him to take it away from us. Number seven, he simply asks us to do three things. Number one, drink it. Drink it. Number two, don't complain about it a lot. Again, I don't think he gets upset when we do, but don't complain about it a lot. And number three, trust him. Trust him. He said, look, my own son didn't agree with the cup that he had to drink from, but he trusted me. And he said, Father, not my will, but your will be done. Number eight, the more you disagree, the greater your faith. Stop and think about that. The more you disagree about what's in your cup, when you go ahead and drink it, the greater your faith. I don't like it. If it were possible, I wish you'd give me something else. But when you go ahead and drink from that cup, you have a great faith. Number nine, the longer you disagree, the greater your faith. The longer you have to go through it, the longer that cup is there for you to drink, the greater your faith. Number 10, the more you doubt, the greater your faith. What I mean by that, the more you doubt, I don't know if I can make it. Father, I don't know if I can continue to do what you want me to do. I just don't know that I can go on and keep drinking out of this cup that you've given me to drink. And like Teresa saying tonight, I'll just keep going on. I'll just keep going on. The greater your faith. Jesus said, let this cup pass from me. And I don't believe his will ever changed. I don't think he wanted to drink of that cup, but he did. And he said, Father, not my will, but thy will. He said on several occasions, I didn't come to do my own will. I came to do the will of my Father. Our will is not always going to be what God's will is. You see, we sometimes have better ideas about what we need in our life. We sometimes have better ideas how our circumstances could be better. And I know I've talked about the widows tonight, but I know there's people sitting in this room right now going through things today that, if it were possible, you would change them. You would change them. Yeah, you would just, I mean, if you were God, you would take the things that are in your life today and said, hey, this is gone, I'm bringing this in. And we all face times like that. Not my will, but thy will be done. And I think that's what God caused God to say, I think on three different occasions, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. You see, when we don't want to drink the cup, and when we want to change it, and when we want to pass it on, and we say, God, don't ask me to do this, because I don't want to do it. And we go ahead and do it anyway. We do it by faith. And again, the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. I close tonight by talking about three different kinds of Christians. I want you to understand, before I start talking about them, I believe all three of these types of Christians are going to heaven because they asked Jesus to be their Savior. And by the way, if you're here tonight and you never asked Jesus to be your Savior, you need to do it tonight. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. You're a sinner. The penalty for sin is separation from God. You're going to end up paying that penalty unless you let Jesus pay it for you. Unless you let Jesus pay it for you. I can't remember if it was Ryan or Evan. They gave me a birthday card before church, and one of them put down at the bottom, thank you for saving me. I didn't save them. I talked to them about Jesus. And if you're here tonight, you need to do what they did. You need to ask him to be your Savior. So I'm going to talk about three different kinds of Christians. First of all, there's a carnal Christian that looks in the cup and says, I'm not going to drink it. I don't like it. I don't want it. And Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me, but they never drink it. Are they going to go to heaven? Yeah, they're going to heaven if they ask Jesus to be their Savior. But they, you say, well, if they don't drink it, they'll miss all the hardship and all the pain and all the grief that sometimes comes from drinking that cup that we don't want to drink. Yeah, you're right, but they'll also miss an opportunity. They miss an opportunity to please God. And so the carnal Christian says, Lord, I don't like this cup, and I'm not going to drink it. I'm not going to drink it. Here's what the good Christian, they see the cup, and through a series of circumstances, they come to the conclusion, I agree with God. For me to drink this cup is the best thing for me to do. Say, don't you think that's a great Christian? No, I think that's a good Christian. A good Christian is one that sees the cup and says, you know, I was wrong. God's right. This is what I want to do, and I'm going to do it. Good Christian. Say, well, then what's a great Christian? A great Christian is one that looks in the cup and says, I don't want to drink this cup. I don't want to drink the cup. Let it pass from me. Give me something else to drink. I don't want to drink it. And yet they pick up that cup And while they're putting it to their lips, they say the same thing. I don't want to drink this. This is not my will. This is not what I want. But Father, not what I want, but what you want. And they sip from that cup. They drink from that cup. And when we can get to the point in our life where we take the cup that God's given us to drink out of, and we say, I don't like it, I don't want it, if it's any way possible, will you let this cup pass from me? And he says, no, no, no. And even though it's against our will, and even though we don't want to do it, we drink from that cup in faith. Then we please God. Then we've pleased him. Because by faith, we've done something we don't want to do. We've drunk from a cup that we didn't want to drink from. That's the great Christian. Let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Let's pray together. Father, thank you that Jesus is our example. I'm so glad we don't have to be perfect. I'm so glad that you know that we're just human beings. And sometimes, Father, when you put things in our life that we don't like, I'm so glad you don't get upset and mad at us when we don't like them and we don't want them, and we'd change them if we could. And I pray, Father, you give us the faith to say, like your son, our example, not my will, but thy will be done. And so I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. I pray, Father, where we've refused to drink or where we've hesitated to drink, that we would just, even though our will may never change, we still get about doing what you want us to do. I pray for those that might be here tonight that don't know Christ. I pray, Father, that you'd help them see they have no hope for heaven except for Christ. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And I pray tonight, Father, you'd help them see their sin, the price for that sin, the sacrifice Jesus made. And I pray tonight you'd help them to come and ask Jesus to be their Savior. Bless this time of invitation. Use it to honor your kingdom and to honor your name. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.